This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Meaning, may the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon all of you. Welcome to another episode of Know Your Lord. In the last session, we discussed in detail about the testimony of faith and what can make your testimony fruitful and meaningful. And we discussed about the conditions of shahada, of testimony, and elaborated on each condition in order to understand, comprehend, and to practice to make our shahada, this great key, meaningful and fruitful. In this episode, we shall introduce the meaning of tawheed, its importance, and its categories. And we'll also throw some light on the first category of tawheed, that is tawheed ar-rububiyyah. First of all, the meaning of tawheed. Tawheed means attributing oneness to Allah, attributing oneness to Allah and describing Him as being one and unique in His essence, in His existence, in His lordship, in His names and attributes, as well as in His divinity. We find the importance of Tawheed in great detail in the Quran and the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Tawheed is the first pillar of Islam. Tawheed was the first call of all the messengers. Tawheed was the purpose, the main purpose that all the prophets and messengers were sent. As Allah Almighty says in Surah Anbiya, Surah number 21, Ayat number 25, that we did not send any messenger before you, O Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, except with this command, with this declaration, with this message, that there is no God except Allah, so that they may worship Him alone. So the purpose of all the messengers was, the main purpose was to convey Tawheed to the people of the world, to convey the oneness of Allah and uniqueness of Allah to all the world. Tawheed is also important because it purifies us. Tawheed is important because it is the knowledge which is of highest eloquence, because it directly deals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawheed is the knowledge, if it is practiced upon, it will lead you to get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawheed is the primary condition for your salvation. Tawheed does not merely mean oneness of God. It means much more beyond that. Because if we actually study the other religions and their religious scriptures, we do find oneness of God. But Tawheed, that is oneness of God and uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and describing Him as being one and unique in His lordship, in His names and attributes, as well as in His divinity, is unique only to Islam. Even though we find the teachings of the oneness of God in all the major religious scriptures of the world. For example, if we study the Bible, which is the holy book of Christians, and the Old Testament of the Bible, which is also the holy book, the holy scripture for the Jews, we find in it there is a mentioning, there is a teaching and a command to worship one God. As when we read the Old Testament in book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, verse number 4, when we study this verse of the Bible, it says the command given to Musa alayhi salam, the Moses peace be upon him, to the people, it says, Shema Israelu, Edno Ilahino, Edno Ichad. It's a Hebrew quotation, which means, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is only one Lord. If we read book of Isaiah, chapter number 43, verse number 11, it says, I am God, even I am God, and there is no else beside me. If we read book of Isaiah, chapter number 45, verse number 5, it says, I am God, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. We find in book of Isaiah, chapter number 46, verse number 9, it says, I am God, and there is none else. There is no God, no Savior beside me. And when we read book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, verse number 4, it clearly commands to the people that they must worship one God. And the severest, the strongest command that we find in the Old Testament with regard to oneness of God is to be found in book of Exodus, chapter number 20, verse number 3 to 5. It says, Thou shalt have no other gods beside me. Thou shalt have no other gods beside me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or the earth beneath, or the water under the earth. Thou shalt not serve anybody, nor bow down to anybody except me. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God. So the Old Testament, which is the first portion of the Bible, clearly gives the teaching of oneness of God. And when we read the New Testament, we find the similar teachings which was given to Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he mentions when it in the Bible, in Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 15, verse number 16, when one comes to him and says, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, says, why are you calling me good for? There is none good as equivalent to God. There is none good except God. And if you have entered into this life, keep the commandments. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he brought the first and the primary command as mentioned in book of in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 12, verse number 28 and 29. The first command, the most important and the primary command that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, gives to his people is mentioned in Gospel of Mark, chapter number 12, verse number 28 and 29. It says, Shema Israelu, Edna Ilahenu, Edno Ichad. Again, it's a Hebrew quotation, which means, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is only one Lord. And you should love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And this is the first commandment of all. So Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he reaffirms the same call, the same message of oneness of God, which was given by Moses, peace be upon him, in his time for his people. Furthermore, when we read the New Testament, it says in Gospel of John, chapter number 17, verse number 3, it says, and this is life eternal. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he confirms that he is a messenger of God, and he brought one message, the main message, that is oneness of Almighty God. So we find, even in the teachings of Jewish and Christian scripture, that is the Bible, we find the oneness of God. When we read the Hindu religious scriptures, we do find again the oneness of Almighty God. When we read Bhagavad Gita, which is the most popular among the modern day Hindus, in chapter number 7, verse number 20, it says, those whose intelligence has been stolen away, those who are involved and engaged into material desires, they surrender unto demigods. Which means it prohibits for any Hindu to worship any demigod. Moreover, the most authentic of all the scriptures of Hinduism are the Vedas. And the Vedas strongly again convey the message that there is only one Almighty God. When we read Yajurveda, chapter number 32, verse number 3, it says, Natasya pratima asti. There is no God except one. There is no likeness of God Almighty. When we read Yajurveda, chapter number 40, verse number 8 and 9, it says, Andhantma pravishanti asambhuti mupaste. Tato bhoya ivate tamoya asambhuti yanrata. This is a Sanskrit shloka, Sanskrit verse or quotation, which says, those people who worship natural things like the sun, the air, the natural things, they are into darkness. Those people who worship natural things like the sun, the air and other things, they are into darkness. And those people who worship the things which are created by our own hands, they are deeper in darkness. So it prohibits completely the idol worship, as well as it prohibits the worship of any other god beside one god. Moreover, when we read Rig Ved, book number 8, hymn number 1, verse number 1, it says, Masid anyad visansata sakhayo marishyanata, which again is a Sanskrit shloka verse, which says, O friends, do not worship anyone, do not praise anyone except him, your Lord is only one. So we find even in the Hindu religious scriptures, it conveys the message that there is only one God. But after the break, we will see how Tawheed is unique to Islam, and Tawheed, apart from proclaiming oneness of God, it also identifies who that God is by giving the characteristics, the names, attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will take a short break and we'll come back.
Who created the moon?
He's Allah Almighty.